Bart Hunt, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Mute. Guests on the Bart Hunt Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline, and joining us on the Goodyear Hotline is Damian Woody. All right, Woody, we've got so many places to go with you, including a really interesting NFL rumor, but I got, remind me, baseball, are you a Yankees fan or a Mets fan?
I'm neither, man. I'm a Red Sox fan.
See, this is what I don't understand with you. You're a Laker fan. How could you pop? See, the Laker fan thing, I'll give you. This Red Sox thing, you got to explain.
Boston College dude, man.
Don't even. You were like, 19 years old when you got there? How does that make you a Red Sox fan?
Because I wasn't a big baseball fan growing up. You know, when I was growing up, it was, you know, I was mostly focused on professional and college football, and obviously, you know, I was, basketball is my first sport. I love basketball, so I grew up watching Showtime Lakers, but when I got to Boston, man, that's when I kind of started growing close to baseball, and I was there with, you know, Pedro Martinez and the crew there, so that's where I hitched my wagon to, the Boston Red Sox.
Okay, so you got personal relationships. You and Big Poppy was hanging out at the strip club, so that's what was going on. Big Poppy got you some dances, so now you're a Red Sox fan.
No, but I don't know anything about a strip club. I don't know anything about that.
Only if the wings are good, right, Bart? We only go if the wings are good.
That's the only reason I go to Atlanta is for the wings.
That's
I promise.
Magic
that's
City.
My story. I'm sticking to it. But were you in New England with Nick Caserio?
Nick was like a coffee boy. You know what I mean? You know how like everybody like worked their way up the chain? So Nick was like literally one of the guys that was picking people up from the airport and stuff like that. So he's done pretty good for himself, I see, with that contract with the Houston Texans.
6 years. Yeah, $36 million.
He was the equivalent. He was the equivalent to Joe Douglas for me. But tell me this: has this man hit his head? Because he's saying that we can build something here, and if it's been reports that saying that Deshaun Watson wants out and they may let him go, then he must be crazy.
Well, let's clarify. Let's clarify just to make sure. So Mike Florio reported this earlier this morning that while the Texans have suggested they'll listen to Deshaun Watson when hiring their coach, rumors are already circulating, he's saying, that they've already heard from multiple different people that Watson, which multiple the same people is not, doesn't make sense, that Watson has quietly broached with teammates the possibility of requesting a trade. So when you hear that, Woody, what is your first reaction?
How crazy, if I'm the Jets, I could solve my quarterback position right now.
What would it take?
Right now, I could solve my quarterback position.
Oh, man.
All right.
You got the cap space. You got the draft picks. That's a known commodity right there.
All right, you're Joe Douglas. I'm Nick Caserio. Make me an offer. Make me an offer I can't refuse.
I would give up a couple ones. No doubt about it. Couple ones. You can throw in a couple, you know, second, third day picks, whatever. But for a guy like Deshaun Watson, look at the team he had around him with the Houston Texans this year. A stripped-down team, and that man still balled down there in Houston. With everything bad going on around him, he still made things happen. And so, I'm just saying, man, if you're the Jets, you got to look into something like that. Because if you can I would rather give up assets to get a known commodity right now.
I mean, I know
no
D. Wood.
What I'm
saying is, you can have Sam Darnold, you can have number two, and next year you can have Seattle's pick, and I'm still going to have two number ones, and I got Deshaun Watson all as well. Because I got Mekhi Becton that's going to protect him. I got a ton of cap space. And if you need me to take Randall Cobb off your books, or if you need me to take Brandon Cooks off your books, if you want me to take David Johnson off your books, I'll give you some salary cap space too. Because guess what? The Texans have no draft picks for the next couple of drafts. So yeah. I'll give you number two, and you can get that back. If you want Sam Darnold, you can take that number two, and you can go get the tackle from – They can go get the tackle from Oregon or whoever they want, right? So, I mean, I'm good with that right now. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think not only should the Jets be looking at that, but it's a number of teams that should be looking at that. I mean, if I'm the Colts, I'm in the same division. I'm not looking at that to be able to do that. But if I'm the Chicago Bears, I'm giving up whatever I have to get. You can have my next three first-round draft picks and number twos for a guy like Deshaun Watson, because that's a team that's ready and willing and able and capable of playing now. If you put Deshaun Watson in any division, he instantly becomes either the best quarterback in that division or the second quarterback in that division. And I don't care what division you put him in.
Well, but, you know, I agree with you, Bart, but the Jets got something that most other teams don't have: assets. You got basically a blank canvas right now. If you're a potential head coach looking at the Jets, you go out there and acquire Deshaun Watson. Man, that changes everything. Everything because you got the quarterback position figured out. You still gonna have cap space. You still have draft picks. I mean, I know it's just a rumor, but we always say it, where there's smoke, there's fire somewhere. I'm looking into that.
I'm talking to Deshaun Watson, too, saying, listen, Deshaun Watson, talk about his brand. If he brings that, he instantly may become the most popular athlete in New York, day one. You know, you talk about what you can get for him. Man, you talk about bringing a guy like that here. I mean, I think if Joe Douglas, and I know we're getting excited, but I mean, this is something that can be good for football, good for the NFL, having a star like that in New York. I mean, I think that can bring the market back, and it's talking about, you know, revive a franchise. You talk about that division with Tua, Josh Allen. You talk about Deshaun Watson now. I mean, you talk about a division. I mean, the Patriots.
What does New England have?
Team with the
What is New England going to have? Jimmy G? Like, what are they?
New England's getting Jimmy G back.
You think about it. The Texans, they don't have a first round or a second round pick in this coming draft, and obviously they have a lot of rebuilding to do. Right, it's pretty clear. So for them, draft capital is everything. But now let's flip it, because it's always easy to take it from the other team's perspective. Obviously, the Bears should be a team that would be interested. I mean, I even think Miami.
The Washington football team.
They've got a high draft pick. Washington, for sure. You got different teams. New England, if they could. I don't think they have any draft capital, unfortunately. But now let's flip it. You're Caserio. Why would you possibly – it would have to take something completely over the top. Because if you trade this guy, and he's got a six-year deal now, as you mentioned. You got that huge contract, six-year deal for a GM. You have to convince your owner that this is the right thing to do. But you know what happens when you trade a player of this magnitude for your franchise. It's so hard to find them, to get them back. But if you're just going to waste his years because you're trying to rebuild and you don't have any draft capital to do it, you're kind of in that catch-22. So if you're the Texans, you're saying if you're the Jets, you do it. Of course you do. If you're the Texans, Woody, do you do this?
Hell no. No. what person in their right mind? And I don't know how old Deshaun Watson is. I'm thinking he's
25.
Probably what? 25. A 25-year-old superstar quarterback. A superstar quarterback. One of the best quarterbacks in this league. You don't find them. They don't grow on trees.
So, but you know this is a stars league, though.
You don't do that. And you have him under contract for 6 years. Like, from the Texans' perspective, like, why would you do that?
Because Bill O'Brien really messed this organization up. They not only don't have any draft picks, they don't have any salary cap space. They're going to be over the cap, I believe. J.J. Watt is a candidate to be either restructure his deal at 31 years old, because remember, he's one of the first $100 million men in the modern era for a defensive player. So you think about J.J. Watt maybe potentially be going. They have $44 million that they spend in wide receivers a year in Cobb, Randall, and I believe, and you think about David Johnson. So, I mean, if a team like the Jets and if Deshaun Watson wants out, you know, usually when a superstar wants out, he can work his way out. He can be disgruntled. He cannot show up. You know,
here's what I'm also going to say, Bart. Like, I Deshaun Watson is probably looking at a situation like, okay, I dealt with Bill O'Brien, who came from New England once. Now we hiring a GM who's from New England. Like, he may be thinking, this is not what I want. This is not what I signed up for. But we just trying to be New England South. You know, I could honestly see, like, that being his mindset. Like, can we just stop it with all the New England stuff? So maybe that might be Deshaun Watson thinking.
But so if you're Nick Caserio, do you take a hard evaluation and say, hey, I can get the number two pick, and I can get any one of these quarterbacks not named Trevor Lawrence in this draft, reset the market and be cheap and build from the ground up, build with foundational pieces, not having anybody that costs a lot of money, get salary cap relief, but also if I want that number two pick, and if I ask the Jets for Sam Darnold, I can get a young 23-year-old quarterback that may not be a proven franchise quarterback, but if I believe that he could be a franchise quarterback, not only do I have that, I have the number two pick, and I have potentially a number one pick next year from the Jets as well, then this is enough for me to build on. You know, two number twos and a cheap young quarterback that could be a franchise quarterback in my system. And if you're the Jets, you're saying, hey, if I get Deshaun Watson, that should put me in the sweepstakes to be able to get Eric the Enemy, because how could the Eric the Enemy turn down Deshaun Watson, Mekhi Becton, and a pocket full of cash in New York City?
Listen, you make some really good points, Bart. I could easily see something like that happening, where someone might come in, as great as Deshaun Watson is, saying, you know what, if we can reset this whole thing, because that organization really does need to be reset. Look at what's going on in their division, okay?
Yeah.
You got the Indianapolis Colts. Basically, all they're missing is a quarterback. They got a strong foundation being built, you know, with Frank Wright and company there. Jacksonville has the number one pick and a plethora of other picks plus cap space, so they can turn around quickly. The Tennessee Titans is a team that's making the postseason year after year. And where does that lead to Houston Texans? No draft capital, no salary cap space, a quarterback with a big contract, but you can't build around him because you don't have any cap space or draft picks. So that could easily be the thinking there.
We're talking with Damian Woody. Let's get into some of the playoff games this weekend, as we have wild card weekend. We got a big six-game slate, which is basically Saturday morning, you sit on the couch, and about Sunday night around, what, maybe midnight, you get off that couch and then go to bed. It's just going to be that kind of weekend. It's almost like the first couple of days of March Madness with so many games, one on top of the other, and it's all or nothing. The question I have for you, though, Woody, because you understand the line of scrimmage as well as anybody, is in these games on Saturday, Colts-Bills, Rams-Seahawks, and Bucks in Washington, I feel like the line of scrimmage is going to be the most important place on obviously many different levels. But would you say that in the Washington game against Tampa, that it's probably the most important, considering the fact that Tom Brady is who he is and doesn't like it when the pocket is dirty, when there's people falling at his feet constantly? And that's certainly what Washington brings.
Well, I think you're right. You know, and just to kind of, you know, echo the point, line of scrimmage is always, to me, the most important place. The game is always won in the trenches, and it's even more so in the postseason. When you talk about the Washington football team, I think the only way they can win this game is they got to disrupt Tom Brady. They got to create turnovers, and those four first-round picks on that defensive line, they got to take the game over, because I don't think this Washington football team, from an offensive perspective, they don't have nowhere near the firepower that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have offensively. Alex Smith is not the type of guy, or the, what is his name, the Henneke, the other backup quarterback. They don't have the firepower to keep up with Tampa Bay. So it's going to be incumbent on the Washington football team defensive line to create havoc, cause turnovers, get extra possessions for their offense in order for them to have a chance to beat that Tampa Bay team.
You know what's crazy, Wood? Because when you look at them, you know the Buccaneers are our top 10 defense, but you know the Washington football team is second overall. But I feel like Tampa Bay is leaving a lot of meat on the bone, because they refuse to try and run the ball. You talk about a team that has tremendous weapons on the outside, which means that you're going to always be facing a light box, right? So then you look at that. They have Leonard Fournette. They have Shady McCoy. They have Ronald Jones. Yet they're 28th in the league in rushing. So if I'm the Tampa Bay, if I'm the Washington football team, I'm saying, okay, here's 6 men in the box. I'm going to make sure that, you know Bruce Arians wants to just chuck it and dunk, right? And just throw the ball up deep and, no risky, no bisky and all that stuff. But if you say, hey, here's a 6-man front and I'm just going to try and dominate you with my defensive line and they don't take the bait, then Tom Brady is going to have to hold on to that ball and burp the baby a little longer. That should be the recipe for Washington to be able to have a shot, because on the other side, Alex Smith is compromised. If you saw him last week, he looked really bad trying to get outside of the pocket and trying to, use that calf. That calf doesn't look healthy to me at all.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Bob, we know that, Bruce Arians, Bruce Arians wants to chuck the ball all over the field. All right, he might run the ball here and there, but ultimately he wants to push the ball down the field. And I think you're right. If I'm the Washington football team, I'm going to rely on my defensive line. I'm going to say my defensive line is better than your offensive line. I'm not going to put 7 people in the box. I'm going to create a lighter box, knowing that you like to throw the football. And I'm going to force you, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to run the ball. I want to see if you can consistently run the ball on us. Force us out of our game plan. And if you do that, you know what? Bravo. I give you a standing ovation for having the fortitude to do that. But I don't think that's going to happen, because that's not in Bruce Arians' DNA to really stick to the running game like that.
We saw them have success when they do run the ball, but they're like a kid when you tell them, sit still for a minute and they'll do it for like 20 seconds, but you could just see that they can't handle it anymore. They got to move. Like, that feels like Bruce Arians when you tell him, like, hey, don't throw. Do a little ground and pound in this game. It'll work. And you can just tell he and Brady, they don't want to do it. They start fidgeting. Like, no, I got to throw the ball. It be calling me. Like, that's part of what they want to do.
Bruce, he ate lead paint twice when he was a kid. So he can't help himself for real.
All right, well, before we let you go, just quickly, if you have an upset out of any of these games this weekend, which one you got?
I'm bullish on Baltimore. I think Baltimore is going to handle Tennessee.
Lamar exercised those demons?
That's a big rivalry. That's a big game.
If you look at Baltimore, the last 5 games, they've rushed for more yards in the last 5 games than any team in a 5-game span in NFL history. They figured it out.
They're playing the Jets.
Lamar, forget all this noise from people about, this lack of passing, passing outside the numbers and down the field. Do what you do. You are the most exciting weapon at the quarterback position in this league. Do what you do. And I wouldn't want to see Baltimore come this postseason. I can tell you that.
Here's the only thing that scares me about Baltimore is the fact that, Tennessee beat them this year. And I know it was without Calais Campbell, but they went up in Baltimore and handled business. Now, I think Baltimore had a chip on their shoulders, but Lamar Jackson's going to have to push the ball down the field eventually. I understand that Tennessee defense is porous, but I'm nervous about this one. Lamar's going to have to exercise some demons if he wants to get that cheese on his taco, because if he goes into the playoffs the favorite or on a good football team 3 years in a row and comes up with an offer, that puts him in some rarefied air, D-Wood.
Well, listen, boy, I understand this. Peyton Manning was 0-3. Peyton Manning didn't win his first playoff game until he was 27. Lamar Jackson just turned 24 today. So we're just in the era of social media where we have so much buzz now because of social media.
Right.
But again, Peyton Manning didn't win his first playoff game until he was 27 years old.
We want it now. That's what we want from the stars. We want it now. Show us you're great, or we'll just start to doubt you. And that's, that's usually what comes when you have that individual success. Then, okay, that's your standard. Now you got to lead your team to a win. And if you can't, we say you can't win. That's always what happens now.
But you know what, Alan? Here's another thing. We having these same type of discussions with these young quarterbacks that come into the league. Everyone saw what Justin Herbert did. Then people start questioning, is Tua the guy in Miami? Yeah. And it's just like, This man didn't even start a whole season, and we got some people out here ready to throw two in the can for the next quarterback. Can we please let people kind of, you know, develop and let them get their bearings going in their career? Like, it's amazing to see how hyper, you know, everyone wants their microwave results now.
Yes. Well, even microwave pizza tastes good. That's Damian Woody giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Wood, enjoy the weekend. Always good to talk to you, my man, even though you're a Red Sox fan.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Oh, man, I had to add that last part there, Bart, because I cannot believe, like, he's a sports fan orphan. I mean, he's from the New York area.
Yeah, yeah. He's from VA.
He's a Laker fan. Well,
he's from VA. That's what was even crazier. He's from VA, so I believe.
He throws New York like it's his home. He throws that around like it's his home. Yeah. And yet, he's going to give us the Red Sox? I got a major problem with that. Then he goes Lakers with me?
Cold-blooded.
Speaking of fan bases that are obnoxious. Anyways, moving on. As we talked about the wild card weekend that is coming up, so we've got basically 2 days of games, so we're going to take 2 days to break them down. Coming up next, a segment we call Blitzer Prevent, and in it, we break down Saturday's games one by one. Will Bart blitz each one? Of course he will. He's a linebacker. That's what they do. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. As the news is traveling around quickly about the Mets acquiring Francisco Lindor from the Cleveland Indians. Mets also getting Carrasco as well, who's a very good pitcher. So they add an arm to their arsenal along with an all-star superstar shortstop that are now going to have to assign to an extension, which you figure they will certainly be able to do that with their new owner, who's got the deepest pockets in the sport. As Bart mentioned earlier, Steve Cohen came in as an owner $10 billion richer than the next richest owner. Think about that for a minute. $10 billion richer, or valuation, however you want to put it, than the next richest owner. That's some deep pockets. And the impact it's going to have, not just in the league, not just in the National League, not just in that division, but what he's doing already and showing he's willing to spend and be aggressive, what impact it's going to have on the crosstown rival Yankees, who used to be the big spending team that suddenly now they ball on a budget these days, Bart.
Yeah, so, remember.
You know, there's everybody now staring down Brian Cashman like, what are you going to do?
Well, he has assigned DJ LeMahieu. He's still trying to figure out how he's going to pay DJ LeMahieu. And you talk about the Mets have interest in that as well. I mean, when you talk about the baseball environment and landscape, the fact that, you know, you have a lot of teams that lost a lot of money because there wasn't any fans in the stands, that's going to allow the Mets, who have a lot of cash, to be able to set the market and also to be able to steal some players that would normally be protected.
No question about it. We'll get more into that before the end of the show. But right now, as we told you, we get ready for a wild card weekend with the expanded playoffs. This is 14 teams now. Gives us two extra wild card games for a total of six this weekend, three on Saturday, three on Sunday. And this is the busiest NFL playoff weekend that we've had since the 1982 strike year, when 16-team field was established with no team getting a bye that year. So today, like I mentioned, we'll break down Saturday's games. Tomorrow, we'll get into Sunday's games, and we'll do it in a segment that we call Blitz or Prevent.
This is Blitz Collins is coming, sack, fumble.
Or prevent.
Caught, what a catch.
Is it prevent or prevent, Bart? Did I mispronounce it already?
Prevent. Prevent.
Prevent. All right. Either way, this is the segment. Bart always blitzes. Prevent kind of just means that he agrees with me. Blitz means that he disagrees. So that's how we're playing the game. All right, Bart? So the first game is Colts and the Bills. 1 o'clock, CBS, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis on the call, by the way. Bills are favored by 6.5 in this game, and it's Buffalo's first home playoff game since the Macarena was the number one song in the country. Since Russell Case flew his fighter plane into an alien spaceship and yelled, "Hello, boys! Remember me? I'm back!" In the movie. Independence Day. And since Tupac wanted "All Eyes on Me." All right, what were you doing in 1996, Bart? Because that's the last time they had a home playoff game in Buffalo.
I was in 10th grade, and I think I remember that Music City Miracle. I think Wycheck or Lorenzo Neal throwing the ball across the field and Dyson going up the sideline and all the Bills Mafia having to eat pie.
Well, they haven't hosted or won one since then, too. In fact, they haven't won one since 95, and amazingly enough, that's not the longest drought among playoff teams in this year's field. So here's your blitzer prevent. This is the year the Bills end their playoff misery.
I would say yes, but if they got upset by the Colts, would I be surprised? No. This is a good defense. They feel like they're disrespected. Phillip Rivers is a veteran quarterback that's been in a lot of playoff battles. He's been on the wrong side of a lot of these. But you think about it, like, how much pressure is Josh Allen going to put on himself, especially if, you know, you don't be successful early in the game if it comes down to one of these tight games. Phillip Rivers has been there. All the pressure is on the Buffalo Bills to perform. They're the favorite seed. Everybody's picking them as the darling. You know, the only team that maybe could upset McHomes and Andy Reid and that dynasty in the making. You know, and if he's, you know, if you get off to a slow start and you don't, you know, be able to come out and get out to a fast start and you start turning the ball over, start pressing, you can find yourself on the wrong side of that. Remember, I've been that road warrior that have been that team that's not supposed to win, whether it was Phillip Rivers, whether it was Peyton Manning, whether it was Tom Brady. Let's see if Josh Allen has what it takes when the lights are on to perform at a high level, because it's only going to get tougher.
Phillip Rivers 4-0 in wild card games, as you mentioned. And also, by the way, speaking of Bills Mafia, about 6,700 fans will be allowed in the stadium for this game, and they sold all the tickets out to season ticket holders. I don't know if you can hear 6,700 people in a 80,000-seat stadium, but somebody will definitely jump through a burning table or something. That's usually what happens at Bills games. But all right, next game up. And by the way, Bart, as we play the game, you blitz or you prevent. You either agree with me, which is prevent, or you blitz, which means you disagree. So
I thought it was automatic. I thought it was automatic.
But what did you do there? Did you agree with me or disagree?
I blitz.
Okay, you disagree.
I blitz.
All right, next game. Rams and Seahawks. 4:40 p.m. kickoff on Fox. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. Seahawks favored by 3.5. Now, Jared Goff's surgically repaired thumb seems to have healed enough for him to play, and really this year's version of the Rams, less about his arm and offense and more about that defense. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and the NFL's best scoring defense and total defense. Yes, we're talking defense with the Rams. So what they'll have to do is something no team since the Rams, the St. Louis version, have been able to do in 17 years. Win a playoff game in Seattle. The Seahawks have won 10 straight home playoff games. So here's your blitzer prevent. With no fans allowed in this stadium, this is when we see the Seahawks miss those 12s the most.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to blitz that, and I'm going to agree with you because, listen, this is going in, and this is a divisional opponent that's not afraid of you, right? They played you twice this season. They lost the last matchup. Goff struggled a bit, but I love what Cam Akers is doing, and if Goff's thumb is good enough to throw the ball down the field, Robert Woods, you know, Cooper Kupp, you know, is going to be returning as well. Whenever you go on the road in any playoff environment, you have to pack your defense and your running game. And the Rams have the ability to do that. And what's really been the mismatch for Russell Wilson this year has been the fact that he's had DK Metcalf and he's going beast mode on everybody. He's running guys over with his abs and poking guys in the face, stiff-arming them. But guess you know who he can't do that against? Jalen Ramsey, who's a goon. And what I tell you all the time, what's a goon to a goblin? And you talk about, oh, yeah. So what's a goon to a goblin? So if Metcalf's a goon, he's going against a goblin to Ramsey because he's an equal opportunist A-kicker, like I always say. He's a guy that's going to get up in his chest. He's going to challenge him at the point of attack. And if he wants to throw some fisticuffs, Jalen Ramsey is equal with those two. He'll throw the left and the right because we saw him get in the scrap, I believe, last year or this year. I forgot the last time he got into that bit of fisticuffs. But he's a guy that's about that smoke. We're going to see if Metcalf, with his Dennis Rodman hair in the nose ring, is really about that smoke, because he's going to have to find a way to get some productivity for Russell Wilson. And if that's the case, Leonard Floyd, you know, remember, Aaron Donald just doesn't come by itself. They have impact players at every position. You talk about Leonard Floyd getting his bonus for 10 sacks. He's revitalized his career since he's left the Rams. And on the other side, Jamal Adams has been asking for this. He's asked for the spotlight. He's asked for the stage. He's going to get it. And if it's because his defense comes up short, his led defense, him and Bobby Wagner, then he's going to be the reason why they didn't win. And that's going to be something that's new to him, because we know Russell Wilson and his offense always going to show up.
All right. And just a quick response. How much do you think not having that loud, raucous crowd in a playoff game affect the game? Because now Goff, if he starts this game, that offense won't have to worry about the noise and having to come up with signals. Now you could just play the game without having to worry about that noise factor, which has been a factor in that stadium since they opened
it. Absolutely. It's one of the most deafening stations that's not named Arrowhead because of the way it's built. I mean, the dude that owned it is from Microsoft. Of course he's going to go all Geek Squad and being able to hold in the sound. You know, you say one word, it bounces up and down on that little overhang that they have, like the soccer stadiums. It bounces up and down. I remember going there without any fans, practicing the day before the game, and we say, "Hey, you guys," and it says, "Hey, you guys," 25 times. I thought I was in the Goonies all over again. You know what I mean? So that's an unfair advantage, and now they're not going to have that. And also the communication of being able to make checks, being able to figure out what you're going to say, and now McVay will be able to get in Goff's ear and kind of give him the answers to the test. He's going to be able to regurgitate that to everybody else on the field to catch them in one of these Jamal Adams off the edge blitzes and make them pay.
You went Goonies on me. Chester Copperpot.
Where's Chunk? Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys. All right, last
Baby
game
Roo
on Saturday. Buccaneers and the Washington football team. That's the 8:15 game on NBC. Mike Tirico and Tony Dungy on that call. Tampa favored on the road by 8.5. How disrespectful. They're division champs. How dare you? Tom Brady isn't only in a new uniform as he makes his 18th playoff appearance. He's also doing something for the first time in the postseason, playing a road game in the wild card round. So Brady's also facing an NFC team, which doesn't always go well for him in the postseason, as we've seen. He's 1-3 all time against that division, and all those games came in the Super Bowl, and the Giants took two from them, as people here in New York know. And just like those Giants teams, Washington has a dangerous pass rush that can make life miserable for TB12. This season, he was pressured 70% on his dropbacks, which is the second lowest rate in the league. But when teams manage to pressure him more than the average, his record is 1-5. Oh, and Chase Young, who will be part of that effort, said he wanted Tom Brady and would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody. So, Blitzer Prevent, this game will be less about Brady and what he can do and more about what Alex Smith can't. His great comeback story, Bart, ends here.
It could, but I tell you what, if this is one game that I'm concerned with, because if we've seen Tom Brady look like Clark Kent and not Superman, it's been when he's facing a team that has the ability to get to you with four pass rushers. You talk about four pass rushers, how about five? Because they got old man Winter coming off the bench and Ryan Kerrigan, only the organization's all-time leading sack getter, who still has a lot of juice left up in the tank. You know what I mean? And he's going to be coming in licking his chops, because you know you have a stationary target, a team that also refuses to run the football. So I'm not paying attention to any play action. So also you think about Tom Brady and what his record has been in primetime games this year. The man needs his nap. It's amazing that the NFL decided to put Tom Brady as the star and not put the teams on the West Coast, which would have been natural for those guys to play the night game. They decided to make Tom Brady have to have his degree of difficulty. We know he's not eating any nightshade vegetables. who knows that he can't stay up past his bedtime. Oh. They're going to have to trick him and give him a nap all day and wake him up and put one of those solar lights above his head.
So he can think that it's early.
They're going to put one of those solar lights on him on the sideline so he can think it's noon.
Well, yeah, we didn't think TB12. The 12 meant noon. It doesn't mean midnight. That's Blitzer Prevent. We'll do the Sunday games tomorrow on Friday. Hope you enjoyed that. And Bart still has to figure out the rules of the game because he doesn't blitz nor prevent. He just gives us his take on each. Download the DraftKings app and use my promo code HAN, H-A-H-N, or as Bart says,
HAN.
To get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. A little more on the Mets acquiring Francisco Lindor. A huge trade in Major League Baseball. One that will definitely have impact on the league, on the American League, on the National League, but very much in New York. Has the city flipped? Where are the Yankees? They used to be the evil empire. Now what are they? In the shadow of Steve Cohen's Mets. We'll discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up next, if you're listening in the New York area on 98.7 ESPN, the Michael Kay Show will take over next, right here at 2 o'clock, and they will dive right into what is a huge story in New York, and it's a pretty big story in baseball as well. Yeah. And that is the trade, the Indians sending Francisco Lindor and also Carlos Carrasco, the pitcher, who's pretty good himself, to the Mets in exchange for Ahmed Rosario, Andrés Giménez, and two prospects as well that are top 10 prospects in the Met organization, but still for the Mets. What an addition that is. And it speaks volumes. And Jeff Passan tweeted this a little while ago saying that the deal is finalized. And this is going to happen. First mega move of the Steve Cohen era, who's the new owner of the Mets, gives the team its new face. It's what Lindor wanted. He wanted to be a star in a big market. He certainly has that great personality. And this is a guy that they're now going to have to sign to an extension. You got 1 year left with $19 million. But Bart, I just quickly here, and I'm sure the K-Show will get into this in New York, but if you're a Yankees fan right now, you're looking now at the Mets and going, oh, this is what it was like to be a Mets fan, watching the other team in the city make these, you know, splashy moves. I think a lot of eyes now on the Yankees and how they're going to answer, if they are. They got to get DJ LeMahieu signed.
I mean, this offseason in sports altogether is going to be about the have and have nots. You talk about the small market teams are going to be at an added disadvantage because they don't have the reserve to be able to spend through the midst of a pandemic and through the midst of the fact that we can't have fans in stands. So I think this is just the first indication of that, you know, this team has a lot of money to spend and they're going to be able to go after players that other teams can't protect simply because they can't bid with them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You miss any part of the show, you can find both hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Bart, this was fun. We got more football to talk tomorrow. I'll see you then.
Aha. Uh-huh.